Hello there, and welcome to the Cinema Cafe podcast, the film podcast by the fans for the fans. This is episode 99, and my name is Joshua Liu, and I'd like to thank everyone for joining us as we review new movie releases, talk some film news, and share our general love for all things cinema. There's a lot of love to go around, and we want to share. Now, if you have any comments or feedback, you can reach us at cinemacafepodcast@gmail.com. Also, remember to review the show on iTunes and check out our blog at cinemacafepodcast.blogspot.com. So, as you can hear, I am flying solo. Penny is in Las Vegas and couldn't really do the show this week, so I wanted to get something out for our listeners before the big episode 100, which may be slightly delayed, so I'm coming out with this episode by myself, and I apologize if I sound a little stuffed up. I'm a little under the weather after my 4 days of nonstop New York City Comic-Con-ness. I saw a bunch of panels, 10th year anniversary of Serenity or Firefly, which was an amazing panel. The new Walking Dead panel was also really nice. Carrie panel. There's a lot of horror panels, evidently, that I went to see. But yeah, I love New York City Comic Con. It was a lot of fun. So if anybody ever get a chance to be in New York, it's a true grind. It's a true experience. If you've never done it, I dragged Penny on Sunday to check it out. And after 20 minutes, she's like, I'm done. But I think she enjoyed herself. So yeah, definitely check out New York City Comic Con if you're ever in the area. But I don't really have any movie talk back, and since I'm a bit stuffed up and flying solo, I'm just going to dive right into the movies. Hope everybody's enjoying themselves. I guess to recap, my week was just Comic Con, and now the start of the new week. Penny's birthday is coming up, so everybody wish her a heartfelt and thankful happy birthday to her. Hopefully we'll get to do something special, but she might be on a trip for business, so we shall see. Now, before we get to our main, or rather, before I get to our my main feature-length movie review, we only got one for you this week. I'm going to talk about four movies quickly that you know, quickly run through, because there's a lot of content to get through. Now, the first movie I want to talk about is a little movie called Griff the Invisible. Now, this is a 2010 Australian romantic dramedy. It's written and directed by Leanne Ford. Now, it's the story of a young meek man who works in a cubicle by day and patrols the streets at night as the superhero Griff the Invisible. Now, always alone and bullied at work, he meets a young woman who shares his strange interests and hobbies and decides to let her in on his greatest secret. This is a very lo-fi superhero movie with some decent special effects, but a movie that cares more about the awkwardness of the two main leads and how it feels to be an outcast in a world where everyone believes they know what normal is. Now, the movie also straddles the line of magical realism, as the viewer is left to constantly wonder if all of Griff's heroics are real or imaginary. Now, the two leads are incredibly charming in an awkward way, and I do feel it starts to fall apart a bit towards the end. The dialogue and chemistry between the two leads makes this film a wonderful indie experience, but it's just a film that's a lot of fun that will surprise viewers with its innocent charms, even though, you know, it does feel constrained by its budget. And again, the ending, towards the end, it falls apart as it kind of delves into some heady melodrama. But yeah, overall, I give this one a DVD rental, or check it out free on Netflix Instant Watch. Now, the next film I want to talk about is actually one of my all-time favorites, and this film called His Girl Friday. Now, this is a 1940 screwball comedy. It's directed by Howard Hawks and stars Cary Grant as the editor of the Morning Post, who learns that his ex-wife and former star reporter Hildy, played by a beautiful Rosalind Russell, is about to get married. Grant must use his charms and wits to win her back in this rapid-fire, tough-talking comedy. Now, this is one of my, again, all-time favorite movies. For those that don't know, my two favorite film genres are film noir and screwball romantic comedies. So basically, my favorite years for films are the 40s and early 50s. His Girl Friday is considered one of the greatest screwball comedies, and it's easy to see why. Known for its amazing one-shot, rapid-fire dialogue between Grant and Russell, everything in this film just works, and it's a great love letter to love and journalism, and how skewed journalism can be. However, as good as the movie is, and as Grant isn't, frankly, this movie would be nothing without Rosalind Russell, who gives one of the best screen performances by a female lead that, honestly, I've ever seen. Her witty banter with Grant's sly newspaper man is the stuff of legend, and as a kind of skeezy, as skeezy as Grant's newspaper man is, you can't help but root for him to get Hilda D back, because she's just magic. One of the all-time best comedies ever made. So I give this one a DVD buy or catch it free on Netflix Instant Watch. Now, the third movie I want to talk about is a film called Into the Abyss. Now, this is a 2011 documentary and is directed by Werner Herzog. And it's basically the story of two men convicted of a triple homicide, which occurred in Conroe, Texas. Now, Michael Perry, I guess no relation to Matthew Perry, received a death sentence for the crime, and Jason Burkett received a life sentence. Now, the film focuses on the two convicts and various people affected by the crime. This is one of those rare Werner Herzog documentaries, and Werner Herzog, Aguirre Wrath of God, is one of the all-time greatest directors, but in his later years, he's really focused on amazing, hard-hitting, and really sad documentaries. But this one is one of those rare Werner Herzog documentaries that has very little, I guess, narration. Actually, Herzog himself never making an appearance on the screen, as he's used more of a voiceover entity, which was kind of odd sometimes, a bodiless entity asking questions of the inmates from some far-off land, it kind of felt like. But this is a truly gripping documentary that doesn't take a side, which I liked a lot. And instead of showing the sides of the families and how both the murders and executions are both bringing more pain as well as closure. Now, also, it never feels as if Herzog has a political agenda, although he makes it clear early on he's not in favor of the death penalty. But he never makes an issue of it, and just continues to try to get to the heart of how these murders have ruined all these separate families, and what could have driven the young boys to these senseless murders. And let's just say both their fathers are in prison as well. So yeah, there goes something to say about upbringing and absentee parenting. So yeah, a truly gripping and mesmerizing documentary that will make you think a little on your stance on the death penalty one way or the other. So I give this one a DVD rental, or again, catch it on Amazon Instant Watch if you're a Prime member. So the last film I want to talk about is this actually a new film. It's called Hotel Transylvania. This is a 2012 sci-fi, CGI animated monster comedy. It's directed by Genndy Tartakovsky. He's a creator of Samurai Jack and Dexter Laboratory fame, so this guy knows his animation. And stars the voice talents of Adam Sandler, Selena Gomez, Andy Samberg, Kevin James, Fran Dresser, John Lovitz, CeeLo Green, Steve Buscemi, Molly Shannon, David Spade, and many more. And a story about Dracula, the owner of Hotel Transylvania, where the world's monsters can take a rest from human civilization. Dracula invites some of the most famous monsters, including Frankenstein's monster, mummy, a werewolf family, a wolfman, and the Invisible Man, to celebrate the 118th birthday of his daughter Mavis, a beautiful and cute Mavis. When the hotel is unexpectedly visited by an ordinary young traveler named Jonathan, Dracula must protect Mavis from falling in love with him before it is too late. Now, this film came out to have the highest grossing September opening weekend of all time, beating Sweet Home Alabama, so that's quite a pedigree. And while it does have its moments where it delves a bit into the annoying Adam Sandler shtick, and everybody knows what I'm talking about, Hotel Transylvania is an incredibly engaging all-ages family film about, well, family, love, acceptance, and friendship. The voice acting cast is all A+. The animation is incredibly slick, and it's full of everyone's favorite monsters just trying to get by and act funny. The main problem I think the film has is that while you can relate to all the characters from the mummy to the wolfman, the one character that I found most in need of characterization and relatability, the one that was most annoying, is the main male love interest himself, the human Jonathan. He's incredibly annoying, delusional, the classic apathetic lead that no one likes, but it's the one that brings everyone together because he just wants to party and listen to LMFAO all the time. How awesome is that, right? I guess 18, well, 21 year old, he says he's like that. Because of that, the character as the lead, it felt that, like, the film dragged at points when he's on the screen. However, everything else worked so well, you find yourself still enjoying things anyway. So because of that, I give this away a meet matinee slash DVD. It's a fun, if in the end forgettable, animated feast for the eyes. But yeah, Sandler's best these days in animated form. So those are my movie reviews. Now let's move on to the feature length film review for you. We have for you this week, it is one, and it is a doozy, as a sequel doozy, at least we could say, as a little ditty called Taken 2.
Dad. Surprise.
Baby.
Hello, Brian.
I was just leaving you a message.
I wanted to surprise you.
Well, you succeeded. Welcome to Istanbul.
Mom, look at this. Oh, it's beautiful.
Dad's the best, huh?
Yes, he is.
You slaughtered our man. Our brothers. Our sons. We will find him. We will have our revenge. He is here. I want all three of them alive.
Listen to me carefully, Kim. Your mother is going to be taken. People are going to come for you, too.
All right, now this 2012 action thriller is directed by the best named director in the business, clearly fake, Olivier Megaton of Transporter 3 and Columbiana, I guess, Infamy, frankly, and is the sequel to the 2008 Liam Neeson career-defining role, Taken. Now, most of the cast from the original film is back, as the sex traders are back as well and out for revenge, as they try to bring the pain to Neeson's badass Brian by kidnapping his wife and daughter, and even taking Neeson, because they gotta work in Taken, right? Brian must work to put an end to everything once and for all, so his family can finally be safe and no longer, again, taken. Now, I have to say, this isn't actually a bad movie. If this was the first Taken movie or not a sequel to the original, I would say it's a by-the-numbers action thriller with some nice character moments, if poorly shot action scenes, and some, frankly, bad acting performances. However, having seen the first Taken movie and knowing what a brilliantly plotted action fest it was, the sequel falls pretty short as an entertaining sequel. The first Taken movie on Blu-ray had a kill counter on it because Liam's Brian is just hardcore as he races to save his kidnapped daughter. You felt his plight, it was gripping and taut, and every guy he killed had it coming. However, in this movie, the action doesn't even start until the first hour the movie's over. Again, I thought some of the character moments were nice, but this is a toned-down sequel, and the reason why everyone loves the first movie is because it's 90 minutes of Liam Neeson kicking butt and torturing bad guys. It's awesome. Torturing, frankly, people's wives. It's amazing. We don't really get any of that here. No one's wife is shot in the arm for answers. No one is electrocuted for selling women as sex slaves. We don't have that euphoric release here as we did in the last film, and because of that, this is a pretty poor sequel. It's actually shockingly badly shot action scenes. As there are so many cuts, the action is almost incomprehensible. It's very similar to what Olivier Megaton did in Columbiana. Since the main actress really isn't a fighter, there's a lot of, and really couldn't, she's, you know, much smaller than every guy she was beating up, there really couldn't be long extended fight scenes, so he used cut scenes, constant cutting, to show the action, to pick up the frenetic pace and make it seem like, you know, she is a badass warrior woman. Liam Neeson can fight, or at least act fight. We've seen it in Taken. So the constant cuts actually detracted from the kind of Jason Bourne-esque hand-to-hand action, real-life action, you know, fight scenes, and it really was almost incomprehensible at times, especially when it was like fighting in, you know, closely corridored alleyways and whatnot. But I have to say, I did like how Liam's Brian is able to find out where the bad guys are taking him by hearing his surroundings and counting turns and seconds it takes to make the turns. It feels really well done. Until they bring it back towards the end, as he's trying to retrace his steps, and every little thing is still happening as it did before, even though it's hours later, and that felt kind of, it kind of felt like that was a plot device, and it wasn't actually well done. But, it's, you know, overall, the acting was amazing, you know, at least the main actor was amazing, Liam Neeson was fantastic. Femme Jansen, this was by far her worst performance. It's so bad, you hope she doesn't, you know, make it out of this film, frankly. Maggie Grace is okay. The A Million by the Numbers nameless villains are also okay. But overall, yeah, this is not a well-acted movie. And again, Olivier Megaton is not a good director. Transporter 3 was incredibly bad. And while Columbia had its moments, it's just not a good action movie. It wasn't a well-shot action movie, which is sad because Megaton has an incredible name. And only seems to be directing, you know, action movies. He's the worst out of the Luc Besson protégés. So, yeah, overall, I think the big hit to this movie was making this one PG-13 instead of the great hard R death-wielding action that the first movie was. There's very little blood here. Liam seems to be putting everyone to sleep, even though you can see he's snapping people's necks, but there's no sound effects. But what do I know, right? This film made like $50 million its opening weekend, so people don't seem to care anyway. But for me, I give this one a catch it on cable TV when it's playing rating. It's just a poorly done sequel and doesn't even come close to living up to the original's expectations. But again, if this wasn't a Taken sequel, this would be a by-the-numbers, like kind of Jason Statham kind of movie. But yeah, sadly, this is a sequel to one of the great action movies of the last decade. So yeah. Alright, with that out of the way, let's move right on to the end of this week's show. Alright, I'd like to thank everyone for joining me for another episode of the Cinema Cafe podcast. Now, before we get to which movies we'll be reviewing for the next show, here are the upcoming new movie releases for the next 2 weeks, starting with October 19th. A classic spy novel character gets the Tyler Perry treatment, where Matthew Fox is a tattooed villain in Alex Cross. Another year, another ghost movie now, with Webcams in Paranormal Activity 4. And lastly, the indie festival drama about death and sex in The Sessions. Now for the movie's release on October 26th, the Wachowski siblings return with an epic tale of love throughout time based on one of the most important modern novels in recent memory in Cloud Atlas. A horror survival franchise of one returns with Silent Hill Revelation 3D. And lastly, the teen comedy from one of the writers of The Colbert Show in Fun Size. So as you can see, not a great 2 weeks of film, although I'm really interested in seeing Cloud Atlas. The trailers, frankly, blow me away. And the book was stunning, if at times incomprehensible. And, you know, Silent Hill Revelation 3D looks pretty stunning. I'm a big fan of the original one, even though it wasn't that great. So, yeah, pretty poor holiday month. But, you know, it being episode 100, I have actually don't even have anything planned. I'm not exactly sure what Penny and I are going to do for the big 100. But, you know, we'll come up with something special. So, you know, even if we don't get to review a lot of movies, it'll still be a lot of fun. Again, I apologize for the abridged episode. Penny is with me, and I'm feeling a bit under weather. I hope everybody wasn't bothered by my stuffy nose, and please forgive me. So, with that out of the way, if you have any comments or feedback, you can reach us at cinemacafepodcast@gmail.com. Also, remember to review the show on iTunes and check out our blog at cinemacafepodcast.blogspot.com. It is almost time for episode 100. My name is Joshua Liu. And yeah, episode 100 is going to be big. Well, it's going to be an episode 100. So it's going to be, I'm sure, I'll look back on. I can't believe we've been doing this since 2008. That is insane. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. We appreciate all the support all our fans have been giving us throughout the years. And, you know, I hope episode 100 is a give back to our fans. So yeah, hope you enjoyed that one. And happy movie watching. Looking from a window above, it's like a story.